Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's go to the phone lines right now and be joined by our next guest. His name is Cody Tapp. He's on the Midday Show. He's also just an overall swell guy. Cody, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. I feel like you pick on Alex much more than me, so we just clearly have a better rapport.
I like making fun of Alex for whatever reason. I think the reason is he cheers for Kansas. Other than that, he's a swell guy. He just has that one character flaw.
I like Kansas celebrating getting the top 100 kid. They had two kid transfer out. Crickets.
Right now we're talking to Cody Tapp, talking a little bit of Royals baseball. Cody, what would you say is the most interesting thing about the Royals heading into the season?
I think a lot of it is just based in, you know, like this is supposed to be the turning point of optimism. So, like, they've been a bottom five offense the last 2 years in a row in full seasons. Last year they didn't rank much better in the shortened season. So, I mean, like, for me, it's like they're actually trying. They traded for Benintendi. They signed Santana. It sure looks like Kyle Isbell's going to be on the opening day roster, so they're actually going to try to win. Like, that's the most interesting thing about them. I don't know how good they're going to do at it just yet. Vegas certainly doesn't think it's going to be a massive difference, but they're actually trying to win. That, to me, is the most fascinating part about it. They should be, I don't know, moderately better on offense just based on the additions they had.
That was sort of the vibe that I got from it, too, that I think in years past they might have carried the bat of Nicky Lopez, but they're not really doing it this year. What do you think about Kyle Isbell? He's going to start with this team. I imagine he's going to be here at least for the first 30 days or so, and we'll sort of evaluate if he gets off to a quick start or not. What do you think of him breaking the lineup?
So, you know, we talked a lot about Bobby Wood Jr. having never played like high minor league baseball. Kyle Isbell has never played above high A, so like Wilmington. But I mean, everyone loves him. Everyone in the organization, and I've probably talked to five or six, including a couple of scouts at this point, love him and think he would have either played high minor league ball, obviously last year, or he would have been there sooner had he not been injured a couple of years ago. So if it wasn't for that, I think Kyle Isbell, we would have probably already assumed he was going to be on the major league roster. And then the timeline got pushed up a little bit because they thought Nicky would keep his job and he couldn't hit. And then Kyle Isbell crushed the ball in spring. So I think he projects to be an everyday major league player. I don't know if he has that like superstar stuff yet, like we talk about with Bobby Witt Jr., but you know, now people, Hunter Dozier's already calling him like mini Alex Gordon, so putting a lot on the kid. But he's a really talented player, and he hit at every level unless he was hurt.
Cody, aside from injury, what's the quickest path for Bobby Witt Jr. to get up here? Is it the team being good, the team being bad, or him just being so good himself that they can't keep him down?
Team good. It's now slowed, right? We talk about Kyle Isbell being up. That means if there's any injury, Dozier, Witt, Mondesi, Isbell, Witt goes to whatever position that person's playing, and then immediately Nicky Lopez goes to the infield. Like, we know that. We know that's exactly how they're going to handle the first injury, even though, like, Carrington, you said they're not going to carry him. The second that happens, they're going to move that around. Them being good, Sean, is my guess for the easiest way to get Bobby Witt up. If they're really good and one spot in the order is like, yikes. Like, we can't. It's been 4 months or 3 months and they haven't hit a lick. Then you can make the argument. Call up Bobby Witt Jr. Again, put Whit Merrifield in whatever spot is just simply not performing and then move it that way. But now that they've shook all this thing out, I think it's going to be a few months.
Which arm on this team excites you the most? Is it one of the guys in the bullpen coming back? Brady Singer in year two, Brad Keller because they finally got an ace. Tell your kid to be quiet in the background; she's distracting me. Or is it maybe one of the? Or is it, I'm just messing with you, Cody. Or is it maybe one of those guys that's still coming up the minor league level, like a Daniel Lynch or an Ace Lacy? Which guy do you have your eyes on?
Lynch, you know, the major league. It's like I think Keller's already a number one or number two starter. Yeah. I'm really confident in him. I don't need to see more. I'm already a big Brad Keller believer. But then it's like Duffy and Minor are kind of the same guys over the course of their career. Sometimes hurt, sometimes really good starters, sometimes average starters. Okay, great. I'm good there. And then Bubich is like, I'm just more excited personally for what I think Daniel Lynch can be than what like maybe Chris Bubich can be. In the bullpen, I'm just looking for any kind of consistency. Stalmont's already fun to watch. If I can just get a moderate amount of consistency, I'm going to feel really good about Stalmont or Barlow. But there's no arms out there that I'm like, can't wait. Can't wait to see them. Most of the arms I'm excited about are still coming up through the minors.
Right now we're talking to Cody Tapp as we take a look at the Royals as we are days away from opening day at this point. Cody, where's your satisfaction with the lineup? I don't like Adalberto Mondesi hitting third in the lineup, but for the most part, I don't have too many other issues. I'd probably swap it and maybe have Soler hit third and then kind of flip-flop those two guys, but that'd be my only complaint.
So I don't mind Mondesi when he's hitting well, and they've protected Mondesi and Salvi from themselves, right? Those two guys don't. Like, if an average at bat for a major leaguer is seven pitches, they see four. But they put him between Carlos Santana, who sees about as many pitches as anyone in baseball. So they're trying to, like, break those guys up, I think, a little bit to try to insulate them for the lack of pitches they see by guarding them with Santana. So if Mondesi's hitting well, I'm fine with him hitting third because I still think that that's their hope for where he'll be. But boy, if he hits slow, Carrington, they got to move him down the order. They got to be willing to move him around like they used to do Gordon. Remember Gordon being hitting well a few years ago, and they'd let him hit second for a while, then he'd stop hitting, and they'd hit him seventh? That's how they have to play Mondesi. Just as long as they don't think it's going to play head games with him, and if you let him know ahead of time, we're going to move you up and down depending on performance, I got no problems. I mean, a really good lineup has Hunter Dozier hitting seventh in the order. He was damn near an all-star 2 years ago in a full healthy season. So I'm good with the orders it sets. It actually projects to be pretty good.
This might be a weird question, so correct me if you hear it different than maybe how I'm asking it. What player do you think is that sort of swing player for the lineup? Because I'm really optimistic about the lineup. I think it's the best lineup they've had since the window closed. I kind of look at it as being Hunter Dozier. Like, if Dozier is what he was in 2019, I think everything else falls into place.
I think it's Benintendi. Dozier makes sense because In his one full healthy season, he's like a well above average major league bat hitting seventh. You're like, whoa, he was hitting third for the team a couple of years ago. So, yeah, he's a swing guy because if he's hitting well and Mondesi's hitting poorly, Carrington, you can almost just damn near flip him and move no one else in the order at all, which is great. But Benintendi, for me, is the only way the top of the order stays together because I think Mondesi's going to go up and down the lineup because he's inconsistent. I think Soler, Santana, Salvador Perez kind of are who they are. And Benintendi's like that one guy that I think in Boston they lost faith on. But really, I don't understand because it was like one 14-game season last year with an injury and one bad 26 days, roughly, in 2019 they seem to be judging that off of.
Right now we're talking to Cody Tapp for a couple of more minutes. Cody, let's assume that they are up 3-1. On Thursday and on opening day, how confident are you that they're going to win heading into the seventh inning with their bullpen?
70%. I mean, Holland was pretty good in the late innings last year, and I like Stalmont and Barlow a lot. I assume they'd go that route. I'm still not sure, I guess, where Wade Davis fits into the mix. So depending on how they line those guys up, I feel pretty confident. The bullpen was pretty improved last year. I mean, it was only 60 games, but they were certainly better than they were 2 years ago when, or 3 years ago is really bad, but 2 years ago when it wasn't very good. They're better. I'd say 70, 75%. It's not 2014 or 15 or anything, but the bullpen to me is definitely better, Carrington.
Cody, I haven't heard your official win prediction for the Royals. I'm at 77. Sean's at 75. Rob's also in that 75 to 77 range. What's your win prediction for the team?
78. I'm probably more optimistic than most, but that's, again, from the guys I mentioned. You know, Andrew Benintendi, I don't understand why people don't think he's a consistent bat. Hunter Dozier, when healthy, is a consistent bat. He's proven that. He was only bad last year in COVID. So, like, there's a – I think there's less leeway in the offense they have now than in the last few years. The thing I fear the most, the thing that'll blow up in my face if I'm way off on this thing, is starting pitching. Like, the bullpen's good enough. I think the offense is good enough, even though I haven't ranked well. The starting pitching is where, like, I legitimately have grown less and less confident, getting closer to the beginning of the season.
Last question here, Cody, and we appreciate your time. For people who haven't been following the Royals super closely and are going to start following them on Thursday, what would you say are the keys for this team to really get off to a good start? We all agree, especially with this team, with their youth and kind of trying to take that next step, this team can't create and dig themselves in a hole early. What are you going to be looking for the first, I would say, 10 to 14 days of the season when they play so many day games and the schedule is so disjointed?
Bullpen going, you know, being consistent early is really almost more important than starting pitching, because the starting pitching, it seems like they're a little quicker on the trigger because there's a million off days early, right? Like, so they play on Thursday for opening day, off Friday, the following Friday, they're off. So I think the bullpen being more consistent early will matter for them, and they can't go ice cold. They had the most home runs out of anybody in spring training, second most hits, second highest slugging percentage, third best OPS. And now it's going to be cold. Everywhere they go, it's probably going to be cold and not hitting in Arizona anymore. So they can't go like last year. I think they scored like 7 runs in their first 3 games. It just can't be like that. Even if it's a few more, like, it doesn't have to be offense explosion, but they can't start that way and then expect to start the season hot.